Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Hopefully everybody's Tuesday's off to an okay start. Kind of cold out there, but good to be with you. Good morning, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, it's all good over here, Andy Bucker. Before we start the show, happy Veterans Day to all the men indeed. And women in the service taking care of all of us, especially, you know, I'm always soft side because my entire family's military brat. My mama, my sister just went in. So, yeah, just shout out to all the men and women.
Shout out to my dad.
Yes, sir.
Well. Yep.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans Day to everybody, man. But, yeah, it's colder. Now, I thought I was tripping when I was at the damn stoplight up here. Because I was like, I thought there might be some pollen or something flying across the street.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, what is
and I didn't even think about it. I just went on home.
There's some styrofoam in the air?
Yeah, and then with Botox, I was like, I knew I wasn't tripping, dog. Some damn flurries?
Yeah.
The hell?
Yeah, I was at a stoplight over by Home Depot, and it was like, hang on a second.
That's like what I said.
That's not what I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was. It's just light. I mean, it did, you know, not enough to do anything, but come on.
All right, come on, man. Come on,
dude. It snowed last year. Okay.
All right, we don't need no more
snow this
year.
Yeah,
man. Come on, dog. Come on, man. But yeah, it blew my mind when I saw that, man.
It's cold.
It's brick out there.
It's really cold.
It's cold, man. And then it's like, damn, make a business decision. Like, can I go another week with this trash? I got to roll it down there.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, man. It's just like,
we couldn't.
Do I want to make a business decision?
There were too many deliveries last week. We had to get the recycling down to the corner.
Yeah, man.
The cardboard was poking out the top of the recycling.
That's not good. So,
yeah, we had to get it down.
Yeah. But no, it is Tuesday. And after the worst Monday Night Football game I've ever watched.
Whew. Boy,
it was pretty bad.
What a tough,
it was pretty bad, dog.
Tough watch.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad, man.
A lot of good Georgia defensive players.
That's what I was going to say. Just watching that, I was like.
Both sides.
I was like, damn. I was like, God, that is Nicole Beck. There's Nolan. He's back, too.
Both made huge plays.
Yeah, man. It was good to see them dudes. And then, obviously, Quay Walker is just getting better and better as he goes along. But,
Jalen Carter just ruins every
running
play.
Yeah, he's just that good of a player.
Just every running play just ruins it.
He's just that good of a damn player. But, no, it was good to see all that last night. But, yeah, it was a pretty much underwhelming football game last night.
Yeah.
The Eagles found a way to win.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things. Like, I can't help but watch games like that, and it's like, all right, I mean, nobody's playing great. It's anybody's night. The better team won, you know?
Yeah.
The better, more talented, but also just a team that's been there before and kind of finds ways to win. Won the game. And that's what the NFL is. You know, that's what college football is this year,
Definitely.
Too. Especially at the top end. Like, you got to find a way to, you get the drive at the end of the game, or you come up with a big play on defense, or whatever it is, and you just survive for another week.
Yep.
And I think that's something that, you know, we spent a lot of time the last couple of weeks talking about with the Falcons, and frustration is they just have found ways to not win, or found ways to lose, if you want to put it like that. But that, I mean, that's what it is. The teams that have the best records in the league right now, nobody's blowing doors off anybody. There's no like dominant, the Rams kind of are right now a little bit, but nobody's a crazy runaway team in either college or the NFL right now.
No.
It's about finding ways to win close games. And if you can't do that, then
you can't win,
then you're not a good team.
No. And I think, you know, because the margin is so a play here or here or there or something like that. And it can always be more likely the determining factor of the outcome of a game. And so, yeah, when you talk about where the Falcons are, they just don't win those games. And so you're in a situation where you got to win this weekend. You need this game this weekend. It's currently you need every game, but I mean, you got to get one before you can get two. And so that's the main. That has to be the main focus. I know a lot is, and you mentioned it, how the staircase of blame of when you're losing, and now it's all you know, everybody's gotten their shot. Everybody's mm-hmm. gotten their kick in the ass, and now it's the young quarterback. And so they're just in such a bad situation if you talk about this regime, because you have a cluster F word of a anchor around you because of a horrible decision you made with the quarterback that's not playing.
Yep.
And if you didn't have that, say for instance you had Jacoby Brissett here, you know, that's going to cost you $100 million.
Sure.
But yet you give the quarterback time to develop, because what they're going through now is that they don't have any room for error, and you're going through young quarterback growing pains.
You're going through, yeah, you exactly. You have no margin for error in a situation where there's going to be so much error.
Yes.
It's baked in.
Yes. And so there, unless he turns it around and y'all turn around, it's just going to be that. Because Michael Penix is doing what 80% of first-time starting quarterback go through. Mm-hmm. There are some anomalies. We saw it with Jaden Daniels. You saw it with C.J. Stroud.
And I think that makes it worse, yes, because that happened over the last couple of years.
And you've seen that.
Yeah.
But more than likely, quarterbacks struggle, or they're good their first year and struggle the second year, i.e., Bo Nix, mm-hmm. i.e., C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's such a hard position to play that you got to have time, but there is no time when we talk about anything nowadays, especially in sports, is always why ain't he doing this and all these different things? And I just sit back and watch, because I'm watching like, damn, he just looks like a dude who's figuring it out, and it still ain't there, because NFL quarterback is hard. It's really, really hard. And the indecisiveness gets in your head when you're a young player and you start doubting, and then you start rushing, and then you're not seeing the field how you should. And that just comes with repetition and all those things. The bad thing about it is, if you're the head coach and general manager of the football team, you just don't have that.
No.
Because of a decision that everybody was behind, mm-hmm. you know, talking about in the organization, that just, I mean, catastrophic is the word. This is not a bad situation. It's catastrophic.
Yeah, no, the Kirk Cousins contract and everything that's happened since then, it really is like one of the worst franchise decisions in the NFL in the last decade.
Yeah.
I know the Browns,
yes,
with Deshaun,
yes,
and
yes,
there's others. Yes. I mean, there's others. And the Falcons tried to get in that one too, but luckily
yes,
missed
did.
Out. But yeah, no, there's other decisions that sort of rise to that level, and maybe worse because of different off-the-field details and stuff like that. But no, I mean, this is, you do something like that, it's almost impossible to dig your way out of,
yes,
it in any sort of,
yes,
timely fashion. Problem is, too, is we're sitting here, I know, there's sort of two timelines, maybe even three timelines going on if you think about Penix's timeline, coaching staff's timeline, general manager's timeline.
Correct.
It's all on the general manager's timeline, though, because this was supposed to be the payoff of the rebuild,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Cousins was supposed to be,
yes,
the payoff of the rebuild.
Yes.
That failed, so now Penix is in there in a situation where he's starting for the first time, but so what? Because everything else around him was supposed to be playoff caliber,
yes,
because it was a 5-year build with the,
yes,
general manager. And,
yes,
the reason Raheem was brought in was because they thought he was the right coach to sort of take that next step from where Arthur Smith had them at 7-10 every single year to win.
Right.
Well, no, none of that has happened.
No.
Now, you're worse this year than you've been in any of the last,
yes,
5 years record wise. And I mean, that's almost unimaginable given,
yes,
given what it was a couple of years ago, talent wise on the roster. The roster is much more talented now than it was 3 and 4 years ago, which makes it worse.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I mean, the seat is hot for everyone. I do wonder, some of the decisions that were made from a staff perspective had to have in mind a veteran quarterback.
Yes.
Right. I mean, are you going to have a first time play caller?
Yes.
With a rookie quarterback,
yes,
also? Like,
yes,
that didn't seem like a great idea.
Because it wasn't.
Yeah. But it wasn't supposed to be.
Exactly.
Zach Robinson's supposed to be calling plays for Kirk Cousins right now.
Yes.
Which goes back to the decision that bombed out.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah, and so when you view it from that, you got a play caller and a quarterback learning on the job.
Yeah, who don't really, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, and again, the stranger things have happened in life and in this whatever, as far as, I mean, again, you can't get to 2 in a row until you get to 1 in a row. And they need a win bad. This fan base needs a win bad. Yeah. Them dudes in Flowery Branch need a win bad, because you just need some good. You know what I mean? Even if it's coming in here on Falcons Monday, it's like they win, but yet this happened or this didn't happen. You need a win. You know, and when you're bleeding and leaking the way the Falcons are right now, you just got to find a way to go out and get ready for this game on Sunday, because it's going to look a lot like all the other games. They got a big time run game that they want to throw out, the team coming in here,
yeah,
that if it's going, they're going. And so they want to establish that because it was held down last week after they had the tricky of his trick off ofness. Talking about the trick offness.
Yeah, but you know, but that's what teams like them do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And again, don't take that as me trying to sit here and act like the Falcons aren't that. They're worse than that. The Panthers beat them 30-0.
Yes.
But the Panthers are a team that tricks games off. When they had an opportunity to get to 6-4 against a bad Saints team. You know, they went out and didn't show up, had their worst running attack of the season, and they lost to a bad Saints team. That other frustrating thing about that is the Saints actually helped the Falcons last week by beating the Panthers.
Yes.
The Panthers were in front of them.
Yes.
Falcons couldn't help themselves. Bucks lost too.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good football team. Now they're hurt.
They're banged
up. And who knows what might happen with them over the next couple of weeks. But it doesn't matter if you keep losing these games because, that you should be winning.
And that's when that phrase of, you know, when coaches and players say it's all about us, because it is. It's about you.
Right.
It's about you figuring out ways.
But it adds a layer of frustration when you don't handle your business and the teams you needed to help you helped you.
Yes. That goes back. So I'm saying, like, you got to figure out when you get this help, you've got to take advantage of it, and you just don't do it. Now, the best thing you can do right now is just take it in your own damn hands and go play your best. Go play your best, whatever part of the season, as far as, you know, offense, defense, and special teams all together. Because you ain't getting no new coverage, guys.
No.
You ain't getting a new quarterback. Mm-hmm. You're not getting. You know, I mean, obviously you're gonna get some guys back in your secondary. You were down a couple corners and everything like that, but that was the reason why they lost the game. But I mean, you might get your best linebacker back sooner rather than later.
Hopefully.
But who knows?
Who knows?
I mean, so you got to overcome so many of these different things that when you were playing, when it was going good, it's just not there.
The other thing that's happened is, and this is beyond the mistakes that get made from the sideline every single Sunday. I mean, that's not going to change either. Like the decision makers are the decision makers.
Yes.
This is going to, every single week we're going to be like, why didn't they call a timeout there? Huh? That was weird. Oh, why'd they run three pass plays in a row there when the run game was working? All right, that is weird. But the flow, like the feel for the flow of the game is not going to change. So the players are going to have to execute better to beat the margin that the coaches sort of put them behind on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis. But here's the other thing that's happened. We talked about it leading into that 49ers game was Kyle Shanahan was going to attack whatever he thought the Falcons' defense was their biggest weakness was.
Yeah.
He did, and everybody else saw it.
Yep.
They're like, oh, you just run right at him.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. And then we can beat him.
Yep.
They haven't won a game since then. They haven't held anybody. They haven't been able to stop the run since then.
Yep.
Like, no, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Kyle Shanahan.
Thanks a lot, Kyle.
Now, I'm sure the league would have figured it out eventually anyway. But, yeah, I mean, that's the night everything changed, man. Like, they took a run game that couldn't do much in San Francisco, had their best rushing game in 3 years, and then everybody else has followed suit. And Jonathan Taylor is an MVP candidate, so what he did was put 250 on you, you know, and three touchdowns. When you get great run, and Rico Dowdle's been doing that to people too, by the way. So that's what Sunday is going to look
like.
He's
going to be one of those dudes. He's a volume carry guy.
Yeah.
He's a volume carry guy, and they got a good change of pace guy in Chuba, who was the dude last year, but because Rico's playing so well, he's promoted to being the change of pace guy. So, I mean, they're going to come at you in droves with this run game. I mean, they just are. And the biggest thing you have to do is that you got to tackle. You got to tackle a lot better than they did against Indy. You got to be able to tackle. You got to be able to, when you get your hands around him or your arms, your pads on him, they go down. They don't break tackles. They don't scoot ahead more for five more yards. They got to get their pads on them. And that's going to start up front with these. They're playing well rushing the passer. They got to do a lot better job of getting off blocks.
I have no doubt that they'll be able to do enough to where the game's competitive in the fourth quarter. I don't think what happened last time is going to happen again. They just have to find a way to win. And that's right. That's where I don't have confidence at all. I have no confidence in this team to find a way to make the play or make the call or whatever it is. Like, whatever needs to happen in that crunch fourth quarter moment, not going to do it.
No.
So.
But what else you got to say?
Line them up.
Got to line them up.
Line them up on Sunday at 1.
Remember Kirby said when he was talking to Shock before the Mississippi State game, everybody was like, well, it's an early start when Kirby said, all right, well, go line them up.
Yeah, we got to play.
Yeah, got to play.
Got to play.
Let's go line them up.
Awesome performance from the Hawks.
Way to go,
last night,
Vic.
Against the Clippers. We'll come back and talk about that. Also, there's going to be a job opening in the NBA. I don't know what they were waiting for. I don't know why today is the day, but I guess the Mavericks fans are going to get what they wanted. They're cheering Fire Nico every game, including last night. Well, they're finally going to get it. We'll tell you all about it coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know what's weird, dude? Is that this new NBA box score? I'm not used to the points thing right there now. I'm like, hold on, where's that? Oh, it's right there by the minutes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Whips a pass in the corner. Zach Rizashe back to Jalen. Jalen now dribbling outside to Veet. Three-pointer, Veet Krejci. He's got another one. Veet makes it 95-92. Veet's got 25. That's his career high.
Yeah, he hit another one and finished with 28. Veet Krejci with
eight
threes off the bench. And, like, he came in midway through the second quarter, and it was like he made five threes in a row. Like, he had five threes in the first half, and it seemed like they came in about a three-minute stretch when the Hawks needed it, by the way, because they were down. They found themselves down 17 points early in the second quarter. And he came in and lit that thing on fire. And then it was a great game after that, just a back-and-forth game between the Hawks and the Clippers that the Hawks end up winning 105-102. Some really weird, bad decision-making by James Harden and others on the Clippers down the stretch when all they needed was to get a good look because they were only down three. Nonetheless, Hawks go into L.A., get the win last night. That's 5-2 in their last seven. They're 6-5 now, so back over 500. And it was an impressive showing by a bunch of different guys on the Hawks.
Yeah, I mean, you look at two in a row, won both games against the L.A. teams. Obviously, the Laker game was here, and they're on this short but West Coast trip now. Got to go to play Sacramento. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, whenever your star player's out, you want people – and we talk about it's like, you know, just stay afloat and those things like that until you get this guy back. Obviously, this team is better defensively without him. We understand that part. But are they a better team?
I think that is true, but I think you can even go further than that. They're not a better defensive team. They go from being like a really average to below average defensive team to being, over the last six games, one of the best defensive teams in the league.
Right.
Like, because of all of the other guys that they have in the starting lineup with – obviously, Dyson Daniels most specifically, but Porzingis protecting the rim, Rizashe, Jalen Johnson, like Mo Gay. I know he only played 8 minutes last night. He was incredible the other night against the Lakers. You bring him off the bench and he's just pure energy and he plays great defense. Like, you're elite at something when this is your lineup. Now, offensively, you're probably elite when Trey is out there too.
Yeah.
But you're also pretty good offensively now. Also,
it's so not bad.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I think, like, historically, we've always said, no, of course, they're not a better team when Trey's off the floor.
Right.
And I still don't think they are, because I still think he's, you know, I think he's overall, he has the most elite skill that anyone on the team has, and that's what he can do offensively. But I don't know. It's closer than it's been.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
They're
even
better
without
because they got better players.
Yeah.
They got better players. So when he's not there, it's not the dramatic fall off.
Like, I'm not trying to make this like a Trey referendum thing. And I'm not going to do that every game because he's going to be out for like a month.
Yeah.
But this is different than it has been in the past because of how much better the roster is.
Yes. Its roster is better and maybe your overall second best player can play and he's healthy.
Yeah.
And I think that's always key. When Jalen Johnson is healthy, they're able to do more.
You think he's their second best player?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
You don't think Porzingis is?
No, I think Jalen.
I don't know, man.
Porzingis is a baller. He's a baller. He's a baller.
He's really good.
But I don't know because I look at Jalen as here. I don't look at Kristoff as here, meaning for the long haul. I mean, Jalen signed up for the long term and all. That's why I said Jalen like that.
Oh, okay.
But no.
Well, he's here now.
But no, what I'm saying is that I'm thinking of, like, the long haul, the building blocks, the pillars. I don't look at Porzingis. I look at him as a great player that – can they re-sign him? Will they re-sign him? Don't know. But I do know Jalen Johnson to be here.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and so that's why I viewed him as the second best player. But you can't.
And he might be anyway. I'm just saying Porzingis is.
He's played well.
Really. When he's out there, he's good.
He's like, he's a good player. And so, but I think the biggest thing is that they've got the ability to That is not, because they still don't have the facilitator like Trey is. That's one of the best things that Trey does, is a facilitator. But they're not. It doesn't seem like they're missing that part of it right now, you know. And so as we continue to go down this stretch, and there's so many different guys contributing, which is always good too. Because I'd be picking at the dude Vit. I didn't know Vit could shoot like that.
Yeah, Vit.
Like when, I mean, once he gets hot, he's going. And so
he's never done that before.
Exactly.
So we're not going to count.
Oh,
on
no,
that.
We're not going to say that here. Let's start the sixth man of the year or the, yeah. No. The ninth man of the year.
But here's what I'll say, like, big picture about him. Mo Gay, Jalen Johnson for sure. Risa Shea, it looks like it. That, like, this coaching staff seems to have a real ability for development. Like, guys have come along, and even like Keaton Wallace played a nice 25 minutes last night. Like, they do a really good job of identifying, because they inherited a interesting collection of people.
Yeah.
And they've sifted through it and kept the ones that they really like. And, you know, for Vic Creci to give you 30 minutes last night and 28 off the bench.
Who knew?
It was vital. But they did.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, like, they know more than we do because they're with them.
They knew. I don't know. I'm impressed by, as much as we kind of give the Quinn Snyder era a little bit of a side eye so far because it hasn't won that much. That's one thing they've been very good at. Like, player development is, and that's not something we talk about really at all in the NBA right now. Because it's like draft high and get stars and move on.
Yep.
Like, their depth is really good because they develop well.
They develop well. They pick the right guys for, you know, as far as veteran leader, veteran type guys to bring in that have a specific skill set. Bringing a guy like a shooter like Luke Kennard. Bringing in a guy, even though he's not playing right now. And I was the Alexander boy. I mean, you got guys
he's
that can come
up.
In and do threat, but he's hurt right now. But yet, you have guys that, like you said, I mean, Keaton Wallace. He wasn't special, but he was played hard, and he did certain things that, you know what, my role is to do this. A lot of them, that, and going back to you talking about development, a lot of them are playing their roles the right way, and a lot of them are now in the right roles to play the role right. Because a lot of times with this team in the past, you've had players that you had to do something more than their role. This team doesn't have to do that.
Yeah, well, yeah, you also just didn't have two of the main things you need to win in the NBA right now, which is shooting and perimeter defense. You got shooters now. Like, you got, I mean, obviously, Veet last night. Luke Kennard can shoot. Risa Shea's shot is looking better. Obviously, Porzingis, there's going to be a night this year where he hits seven or eight threes. Like, he can do that. You got legit perimeter shooting. You got guys that can defend on the perimeter. And you have a roster of players that's trying hard.
Yes.
In the NBA, I mean, you win 50 games with that, you know?
Yeah, but, like, but you win the others with stars.
Yeah, yeah, you need stars to win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Understood. But nice win last night for the Hawks. The Mavericks are going to fire Nico Harrison today.
They've already fired him.
Oh, they did.
They said 10 o'clock, right? They said 10 o'clock Dallas time.
Oh, is that okay? Is it 10:30 in Dallas now?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, they fired.
I never know the middle ones.
Yeah.
The Mountain and the Central, I don't know those ones.
Yeah.
I know West Coast and East Coast.
That's all I need to know, actually.
Yeah, I don't know the other
but
ones.
But I think the one thing about they fired him, they didn't make the playoffs last year. Somehow they were rewarded with the number one overall pick in Cooper Flagg, mm-hmm. and they started off awful. And lost a heartbreaker last night. Mm-hmm. And the owner, whoever he is, was sitting by fans. This is what Shams is saying. And sitting with the fans last night and was like, I got to do something about this. Told the fan, I'm going to take responsibility for this. And you fire the guy that traded away a generational player. And it doesn't help that Luka's averaging 45 points or whatever he is right now.
No, actually it hurts.
It hurts even more. It hurts a lot that Luka's doing that.
They finally got him in the gym, and he looks like an absolute sniper.
Yeah, and you traded him away for this idea of Anthony Davis and his health.
I guess.
And the first game he's there, he's got the crowd hype, he's dunking, and then he gets hurt, Andy.
And he gets hurt.
Just like he always does, and then coming to this year, he gets hurt again.
Yeah.
And so,
which he always does.
Which he always does.
Yeah.
And so it's a mess down there in Dallas. I thought they may be able to hang on to they get Kyrie back or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like at this point, you traded.
You already got rid of him.
Like, if you were going to fire him.
But they can't fire him because they allowed him to do the trade.
Right, you gave him the green light to do it.
You gave him the green light to do it.
So, like, fire yourself.
You can't fire yourself.
You know? Right, exactly.
You can't fire yourself. You're the owner, man. But
that is a weird timing.
It's funny. I was like, hold on.
I'll say this. For, you know, I don't know. I don't know what percentage it played. That whole, you just painted a whole big picture of a pie of different slices of all the reasons why he got fired. One of them is that the fans every single game were chanting fire.
They had this dude hide in the tunnel.
Every single game.
They had him hide in the tunnel, Nick.
They used to go to that arena and go nuts for Luka and Dirk and all these guys. Yeah. And now all they do is show up so they can chant fire the general manager.
Yes.
Last night he's sitting in the crowd. Yeah. That was part of it.
Yeah, dog.
You got to go, man.
What the hell? All right.
You got to go.
Hey, man, come to my office at 10 o'clock. I'm going to fire you. No, I'm going to stay at home.
Yeah, how'd that information
come out? I'm not going to waste no gas. I'm not going to waste no damn gas to come down there and get fired.
10 o'clock?
What are you
going to schedule my firing?
You know what I mean? I ain't coming. No. I wouldn't have came.
No, you got to. You just fire me over Zoom.
Yeah.
Or text
me. Just call my agent.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different routes.
Yeah, just call my damn agent, man. Which is, oh, God. Shout out to the rookie catcher, man, for the Braves, man. That's a big time deal for Drake Baldwin, man.
Rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year. Something good happened.
Yeah.
You know, as far as postseason awards for this young man who, I mean, from talking about him in spring training where, you know, because Sean Murphy was there, you're like, oh, they're going to carry three catchers, and Sean Murphy starts late, and he's like, oh, we got this other veteran. No, we're going to let this young guy play.
Yeah, no, he's the best catcher we got.
Yeah, we're going to let this young guy play right here.
He's going
to
play a lot.
And he played, and shout out to him for winning the NL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, man, awesome.
Good news.
It's just one of those, I don't know, now that we're a little further away from what the disaster of a season was, you can maybe start thinking about some of the, and you got him too now?
Yeah.
Rookie of the year catcher coming back that you didn't know you had that last year. A little bit of health, a little bit of pitching. Who knows?
Who knows,
you
Andy?
You never know. You never know.
Who knows?
Yeah, we didn't have to play any stuff from the Monday Night Football game.
No, it was
Eagles won.
It was office. Office.
Eagles won. You didn't need to watch
Sports
it.
Talk on the game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch all your local games every Sunday. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started.
All right, so Mike Conte is going to join us next. We'll obviously talk about the Hawks win last night, kind of their first 10, 11 games of the season, big picture-wise. Have we talked to him since the Tata announcement?
We have not.
We talked to him about it maybe happening last week. Well, it has happened. Atlanta United has brought back Tata Martino, so we'll get his thoughts on that, of course, as well. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Uh-oh.
All right, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show. Andy and Randy with you here. 20 minutes away from getting back into an NFL no huddle, as week 11 has come to an end. And we will get you a little bit more from Raheem Morris from yesterday, obviously react to some of the Monday Night Football game last night as well. All the big news in the National Football League. We'll get back into, because yesterday we didn't really get much time just with reacting to the Falcons loss to talk college football. So we'll spend a lot of time on that at 12:20. We've got some Kirby Smart audio looking ahead to Texas on Saturday night as well. So we'll get to all of that football, 45 minutes of it, to start the noon hour. But Mike Conte joins us at 11:40 on Tuesdays to talk all kinds of different stuff. Hawks, Atlanta United, college football. Mike, how are you?
How would you be if you were a Penn State fan and had a really strong interest in the Falcons doing well? How would you be? And seeing two teams from the state of Indiana... All you needed was to either get a first down or get a fourth down stop, and you could have won both the games. And instead, you lose both in excruciating fashion. So I'm super.
Yeah. I root for a team that froze to death in a snowstorm on Saturday night and then also want the Falcons to win. So we're in a similar boat. At least our coach didn't get fired, I guess. But, yeah, all right. Fair enough. Where do you want to
start? I'm good.
Where do you want to start with all that?
Guys. Well, why don't we start with the Falcons?
Okay.
I think you guys are doing a really good job breaking it down again today. And I was just on the phone with Arch. Arch and I were just talking. He usually checks in every week. And I told him, I feel like they're getting close. I do feel that way. Like, I feel like they're getting close. They just played two good teams right. down to the wire. That's got to be a good sign, right? But close is only good in, like, horseshoes and hand grenades, right? Like, yeah. it's not going to help you
change your record. We kind of started the show there, too. They're like, close is the NFL. Like, everybody's close.
That's a great point.
Every game's close, pretty much.
Yeah.
You just got to make some plays and some decisions and sway the outcome.
Yeah, and it's not good enough. And I think ultimately that's what I keep coming back to. You know, okay, yeah, they're making progress. Defensively, love what I've seen. Offensively, it seems like there's execution errors, hopefully fixable. I don't know, but it's still not good enough. And I know there's been a huge debate on this radio station about, is it coaching? Is it your personnel? It's both, I think.
It is.
You know, when you're 3-6, it's not just personnel. It's not just coaching. I don't think we should be giving Penix a pass, but I don't think we should be declaring him to be a bust either.
Right.
You know, so I think both things, elements of both can be true. I cringe a little bit when and it's not anything you guys have said. I've seen this on social media a lot. Well, you know, he's still a rookie. You know, he's only played 11 games. He's still a rookie. Yeah, well, he's in his second full season in the NFL, and he played about 20 years in college. So at some point, that excuse has to go away. I'm not willing to give him that benefit of the doubt. But there are moments with him where I think, wow, okay, yeah, this guy could be special. He could be really, really good. And then there are other moments where I'm thinking, what the heck is this guy doing, and why is he doing it? And is he doing it because he's being coached that way, or is he doing it because that's just what he does? I don't know. All I know is this. You got three games coming up, Carolina, New Orleans, and the New York Jets. You got to be 3-0 in that stretch. Yep. You have to.
Yes. Yes. I don't even know who they play after this weekend. So would you just call those three out?
Yeah. Yes. You got to be 1-0, right? Not to sound like James Franklin. You got to be 1-0.
You can go 1-0 three times.
Yes. Yeah. That's fine.
Yes. And then you know, whatever. But I wanted to go back because, you know, I think we talked enough about Sunday. You know, I'm always ready to move on from that crap. I know we got to continue to talk about it. But I want to go back to your game Saturday. Because, I mean, Mike, when you want to talk about fight and grit of a football team, and then for them to come down and lose the way they lost. Mm-hmm. I hate the word proud of them or because I don't believe in moral victories at all. But did you see that? Because I know
absolutely.
I thought Indiana was going to just straight.
I thought they would boat race them. And I thought that loudmouth, arrogant coach of theirs was going to go in there and try to score 70 points if he could. And he probably would have tried to do that. So, yes. And in fact, if anything, it's a little even more depressing to think about. Oh, that talent was there all along.
Right.
Where has this been? Why couldn't they have done this against freaking UCLA and Northwestern? Yeah. James Franklin would still be the coach. He'd still be in the playoff hunt. You make one more play against Oregon, you'd be in the national championship hunt. Instead, it's just been excruciating. Every loss they've had that they've had, what are they now, 3-6, all six of their losses but one have been on the last play of the game.
Damn.
That kills you.
Yeah.
You know, but again, like we're talking about with the Falcons, you know, all right, yeah, they're close, but it doesn't matter. It's not going to change anything. I thought, you know, first of all, Indiana, give them a ton of credit. Their quarterback had a Heisman drive.
Yes.
All right. That guy who made that catch, look, that's Indiana winning the game, not Penn State losing it. Mm-hmm. So you have to give them a ton of credit. They'll probably be a better team in the playoff having gone through that experience.
Agree.
That quarterback has got to be going up the Heisman ladder big time. And remember, too, that last drive, Penn State sacked him on first down.
Yeah.
They have like second and 20 with no timeouts and a minute left, and he still marched them down the field and scored. So really impressed with their quarterback, really impressed with that team. You know, just eye test wise, Ohio State, I think, is still miles better than them just based on, and Penn State saw them in back-to-back weeks. Eye test wise, I think it's Ohio State and everyone else right now. No disrespect to anyone in the SEC. I think it's Ohio State, and then you've got a group with Georgia, Indiana, probably Alabama. I'm not ready to put Texas Tech in that group yet, but Ohio State right now stands alone. They should have it all in front of them as long as they stay healthy.
Yeah, the interesting thing is those guys will play at least once because they'll play in the Big Ten championship
probably.
Game likely.
Yeah.
And they both could be undefeated at the time,
yeah.
which is odd.
Yeah,
and then they might play again in the playoff.
But then you have that weirdness of,
right.
well, you know, we're both undefeated. We're both going to the playoff. So, and you know, again, with that loudmouth coach of theirs, they'll, you know, he – immediately after the game, he's making excuses because, oh, you know, we were shorthanded. For crying out loud. For crying out loud. So I don't like the way that Cignetti managed the Notre Dame game last year, the playoff game. I thought they went in there way too timid, way too passive, you know, punting the ball when they're down by two scores with a couple minutes left. That conference championship game could be anticlimactic. In the same way that if Georgia Tech were to beat Georgia somehow – and then go to the ACC championship game, that conference championship game will be anticlimactic. Georgia Tech will be in the playoff, win or lose, if they beat Georgia. Assuming they get to the
right.
ACC championship game,
yeah.
which requires them to beat Boston College and Pitt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're talking about do we go from 12 to 16 teams. Right now, we got to figure out what we're doing in these conference championship games. I even heard Rusty Manziel talk about it the other day. Does Georgia really want to go to Atlanta? Do they really want to go to Atlanta and play for the SEC championship? I mean, it still means something to win the SEC
yes.
championship.
I know that their coach does.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing is that Kirby does.
I think there's a lot of,
but
yeah, there's arguments to be made.
It's sad that we're having that
does.
Conversation now.
It does suck, but no, I know that guy up there.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, he wants to win everything.
Yes, he wants to win
And that's
everything.
What
exactly.
makes him great.
Yes, he wants to win everything. Mike, what's your assessment over the first 11 of these Hawks? Big win last night.
Big win last
yes.
night. Big, big win. Veet. Going crazy. Yeah, good for him. Look, they have turned things around over the last 2 weeks. Disappointing start. Still can't figure out why they can't solve the Toronto Raptors. But other than that, you know, they've played pretty good ball. And over the last 2 weeks, I got to run the numbers here maybe during the break. Defensively, it feels like they're playing a lot better over the last couple weeks. They're getting more stops now. They're forcing more turnovers. They've been a little better on the glass. They're not getting the rebounding that I thought they would get from Porzingis. It feels like the rebounding is really coming from Johnson and to a lesser extent from Daniels. That's been a little bit of a surprise to me, and I don't know how sustainable that is. But the fact that – Stake and I were talking about this. The fact that you're treading water right now without your best player, if you can stay right around 500 and get one or two five-game winning streaks and otherwise play 500 ball, you're going to be just fine. You know, you'll be – in the top six, you'll avoid the play-in. I don't think anyone in the Eastern Conference right now other than Detroit really scares me. At the moment, it's still extremely early in the season. But after a disappointing start, where, again, you just couldn't solve the Toronto Raptors for some reason, after a disappointing start, I'm really pleased with where the Hawks are right now through 11 games. And I'm seeing signs that this is developing and getting better as they start to coalesce. And their depth has been much
yeah.
better than I expected it to be.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I think over the next month or so, you're going to get to learn a lot about because obviously Trey's not playing, but other guys are missing games here and there as well. So that's good. Some of those bench guys will get a chance to play and get more experience than they otherwise would. I'm still – my clock reset on the gelling because the gelling was Trey and mm-hmm. and the other guys, and that won't be able to happen until he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So – As far as that goes, timeline for those guys sort of figuring out, because they're figuring out how to play without him.
Yeah.
But then they've got to figure out
how to play with him.
And
that's a good point.
Back.
And you're probably 2.5 weeks away-ish from getting him back. I think after Thanksgiving's a realistic timetable. And you're right. Like, does that bring you to like almost a reset point where now you got to figure it out again? I don't know. But I would
I think
say that
your non-Trey lineups will benefit.
Oh, for sure.
From all these moments.
Well, but. And a guy like Keaton Wallace, who's been in the starting lineup, would theoretically go back to the bench.
Yeah.
That will be better for him.
Mm-hmm.
It gets him more favorable matchups.
Definitely.
So I call that a good problem to have. You know, wow, we figured out how to play without Trey. Now
sure.
we got to bring Trey
sure.
back. I think that's a good problem to have.
Mike, last week we asked you, but it might have been 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the United mm-hmm. as far as looking for a new manager. Mm-hmm. They made the decision on Tata. What? Because we haven't talked to you since then, as
yeah.
far as on the air. What was it? What went into that? Was it just second time around? familiarity with Arthur Blank and him?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And he was sought after by other teams. Okay. So he had to choose Atlanta. There was a report that LAFC was in pretty deep discussions with him. So to me, first of all, I think that says a lot that he chose Atlanta over LAFC. LAFC could end up winning it all this year.
Right.
You know, they're a really good team. Atlanta United is not a really good team as it is right now. Can Tata fix it? Remains to be seen. I think a lot of the answers to the questions you just asked me, Randy, will probably come on Thursday when we get our first opportunity to meet with Tata. That has not happened yet. They kind of announced it last week, and then I think maybe he went home and he's coming back now later this week to do a press conference. So we'll get those answers there. But I think this will be a very different challenge for Tata than the one he had in 2017 when he had an expansion team. Mm. Canvas is blank.
Right.
You can go out. I think there's this incorrect narrative that Tata was the roster builder of that team. That's not really true. I'm sure, though, he had input. Okay, now he comes into a situation where a team is already in place. Can he take these pieces and implement that wide-open attacking style that you know he loves to play and that we saw in 2017 and 18 and had so much fun watching? I don't know if he's got the personnel for that right now, and I don't know how much of this roster, with where Atlanta United is right now, with the budget rules and salary caps and all that, I don't know how much they can really remake this winter.
Yeah, right.
So I think this could be a very unique challenge for Tata Martino. But it's exciting.
Right.
It's fun. You know, I've talked to a lot of people over there. They say the vibes are really good over there right now. Everyone's really excited that Tata's back in the building. He's an excellent coach. He has won pretty much everywhere he's been. Even won with Mexico. It didn't last very long, but he had some success there. I think he won a Gold Cup, if I remember correctly. So, you know, you're bringing a proven winner in who has familiarity with the infrastructure. That should hopefully work out well for Atlanta United.
Yes. Should is key.
Yeah. Baby.
Should is key.
Should is the operative
word. There's been a couple shoulds, you know.
Yeah.
But, yes, we're with you.
And, look, honestly, that's one of the elements of this that makes me nervous.
Right.
You know, oh, you brought in Almiron. That should have worked out. It did not.
Right.
You're bringing in Tata. That should work out. But what if it doesn't?
Right.
We'll just have to wait and see. But it's exciting, and you want to get the fans energized, and it's the way to do it.
No doubt. Mike, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Mike,
as
guys.
Always. Thank you. Mike Conte hangs out with us on Tuesdays at 11:40, and we cover all kinds of different stuff. And with the Atlanta United news, hopefully it's true. Hopefully the excitement turns into results like it did last time. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.